There is this great story at the end of the second chapter of Luke. It's always to be read on the first Sunday after Christmas, and it's the story of Simeon. And it is the perfect account for Christmas, and it's the perfect account for the last Sunday of the year. The scene is an old man holding a baby. Can't you just see that? An old man holding a baby. That's when it makes you want to go and get your camera if that happened over Christmas. It's a beautiful image, an old man and a baby, and it's an image that Luke draws of Simeon and the baby Jesus at the end of the second chapter of Luke. Now, there's so many accounts of Jesus, it even says in Scripture that they can't even be written because there's so many, that it's curious why we need to understand about this particular account. It's there for a reason. Now, the text says that Mary and Joseph were very careful to observe all the Jewish laws concerning the birth of babies. And there were laws, specific laws that had to be followed. So on the eighth day, they took the baby Jesus to the temple for circumcision, just as the law required. And then they went back to Bethlehem to wait 4 more weeks for another ritual, the ritual purification of a mother after birth. Well, the time comes to go to the temple. The month of waiting is over. They got the donkey packed. They have a little yellow sign on its behind that says baby on board. And they're going to fulfill the law of ritual purification. Now, Scripture says that they made an offering of doves for the purification. Now, the standard offering was a lamb. It was really a lamb. But the law allowed the giving of doves if you were poor. Now, Luke put that in as a little reminder that Jesus was poor. And that he came to a poor family. He was born into a poor family. Mary and Joseph couldn't afford a lamb. They could only afford 2 doves. Now, as they walk up the steps to the temple, an old man confronts them, and he asks them to see the baby, much the same way as Mike Bensinger asks to see every little baby that walks through the door, because he says he is the official Christ baby holder. Much in the same way, this is the way Luke describes it. There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. He was looking for the Messiah. That's why he was there. He was stationed at the temple because there was a prophecy in the book of Malachi that said when the Messiah came, that he would suddenly come to his temple. So Simeon had been standing there at the top of the steps at the temple for who knows how long, looking at every baby that he could look at, looking for the Messiah, waiting for him to come to his temple. Is this one the consolation of Israel? Year after year, he had been there checking out the babies. Now, the Old Testament lesson for this Sunday from Isaiah reminds us again that prophets had several functions in Israel. They were spokesmen for God, but they also spoke to God for the people. You saw in this same passage that Anna was a prophet, and she was there in the temple as well. And prophets were spokesmen for God, but they were intercessors, you see, for the people. Not only did they tell people what God wanted the people to hear, which we've been talking about in recent weeks, but they also told God what the people wanted God to hear, which, quite honestly, was mostly just kind of complaining and whining. You know, like, why this, why that? Oh, you know, what's with this, what's with that? Why me? And that's mostly what they said to God from the people. But Isaiah said, "For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest." You see, Isaiah saw himself as an advocate, a kind of a lobbyist for the people in the courts of God, pleading the case for the people. Simeon must have seen himself as an advocate prophet, too, because he's there in the temple reminding God of this promise, looking for the consolation of Israel. He was standing there at the top of the steps the way a watchman stands scanning the horizon. He wanted to see the consolation of Israel. He probably was tired of living. Now, Simeon sees Mary, Joseph, and the baby coming up the steps. You can just see him. Let me see that baby. Mary probably thinks, crazy old guy, probably going to drop it. But reluctantly, she gives him the baby, and Simeon pulls down the fabric, and he looks at his baby's eyes, and he sings. And he sings, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace." He's like, finally. "For my eyes have seen your salvation." The Messiah has come. He's flipping out. The Savior of the world is here. And that's the way Luke concludes his Christmas story. He draws this image of an old man holding a baby, announcing, "This is him. This is the one we've been waiting for. The Messiah has come. The consolation of Israel is here." Now, the retelling of this account is for a purpose. Some say that Simeon represents Israel, old Israel, waiting all these years for the coming of the Messiah, and that old Israel is replaced now the way New Year's, symbolized by a baby, replaces the old year, symbolized by Father Time, the old man. Well, you know, maybe, but I'm thinking it didn't work out that way historically. Israel was not replaced. Israel's still around. Israel is still waiting, as a matter of fact, for the Messiah. And Christianity, you know, it hasn't exactly taken over politically. And there are more and more anti-Christian nations around. And even the so-called Christian nations are not really very Christian anymore. So the scene, you see, isn't really one of like messianic victory, the triumph of the new order over the old. And it appears that Luke just wants to make for sure that we haven't missed the fact that the Messiah has come. So the Holy Spirit has someone who knows what he's looking for, Simeon, make the announcement that the Messiah has come. Because, you know, it wasn't immediately obvious that the Messiah had come. Not many people saw it. The day after Jesus was born, the sun rose as usual to reveal the usual. The Romans were still occupying the land. The Jews were still under occupation. That awful consensus still continued to crank out bureaucratic nightmares for everyone. The day after Jesus was born, society didn't change. The rich continued to be rich. The sick continued to be sick. The problems that plagued mankind still continued to plague mankind. It appeared that when the Messiah came, nothing changed. And Luke heard all of these questions. He heard the inquiries. He heard the challenges, you know. Are you sure the Messiah came? If the Messiah came, I must have missed it. Are you sure he came? Because the world is still messed up. My life is still messed up. Are you sure he came? You know, on Christmas Day and Christmas Eve, especially, it's different. Things are wonderful, aren't they? Christmas Eve. Don't you just love to come to church? It was icy this past Christmas Eve. But, you know, everybody is so nice to each other on Christmas Eve. Even in the house, your kids aren't trying to kill each other around on Christmas Eve. At least they're making an effort to get along. You know, during the Christmas season, it is the best time to read the papers. There are moving stories of feeding the hungry and housing the homeless. And the networks always end their shows this time of year with some sentimental story about people helping each other, and it's so wonderful. We seem to be able to get it together for about 3 weeks. But that's about it. After 3 weeks, it all falls apart again. You know, several years ago, there was an article in the Chicago newspaper, and it was published the day after Christmas. I shared this with the Bible study folks. It punctuates the fact that Christmas does not last forever. There are many of these stories, but this one just says it in a nutshell. A man was driving home on Christmas Eve, and he was looking out, and he saw a small boy walking across the pond, and he saw the little guy fall in. And he stopped his car, he jumped out, he was in his Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. He took off his suit jacket, he laid it on the bank, and he crawled out on that ice to save that boy. And the ice broke, the man fell in, but he was still able to rescue that boy. But he risked his own life to do it. It's a wonderful Christmas story. A man reaching out to help somebody else. Everything ends up okay, he risked his own life. Shivering and shaking, he climbs out of the water. Sees that, you know, by that time the rescue people are there. He picks up his jacket from the ground and discovered while he had been risking his life to save the boy, somebody had been lifting his wallet from his breast pocket. The paper didn't stop there. Following that was a story about a department store Santa who, instead of putting a pillow in his costume, was shoving merchandise in there. They arrested him and they searched his house and found that his basement was filled with stolen merchandise. He was running an eBay business out of his house and kind of, I guess, a Chicago version of Santa's workshop. I don't know how they do it in Chicago. You know, but I resent reading that stuff. I have stopped reading that kind of stuff. It just makes me sad. Because I want to believe that there is something permanent about the spirit of Christmas. And I want to believe that Christmas changes people. I want to believe that Christmas changes the world. I want Tiny Tim to be happy. And I want Scrooge to learn his lesson. I want Christmas to change things. I want Christmas to change me. But I guess it's not that kind of a world. At least not yet. The world, you see, there would be those out there that would tell me that kind of a hope for humanity is naive and simplistic. You know, I can't expect my fellow man to act like a Christian if he isn't one. And I can't expect the world to act like a Christian. I can't expect it to act Christian at all when it isn't. Heck, I can't even expect everyone who goes under the label of Christian to act like a Christian. That's also naive and simplistic. But I can expect myself to act like a Christian. And I can take my walk with the Lord so seriously that my role and my position in the world are determined by God and not all of the yuck that goes on around me. I can expect myself to be different, and my personal world can change permanently. So, has the Messiah come? Well, it's the same question as, why can't Christmas last all year? And if you've ever hoped that the Christmas spirit would last forever, that it would transform the world permanently, then you have an idea of just what it was that Israel was waiting for. You see, they were waiting for the transformation of the world into the kingdom of God. That's what they were waiting for. And they believed the transformation of the world would happen first, and then the Messiah would come. You see, they thought first everything was going to be changed, and they thought in that way, you see, they would know when the Messiah came, that there would be no mistaking his coming. They would know the time because everything would be made right first. And it would be obvious when he came. But it wasn't that way. Not at all. So that's why after Luke tells the story, the announcements, Mary and Elizabeth, the visitation of the shepherds, the nativity scene, all the beautiful stories, we have to hear it again so that we don't miss it, that yes, this baby was the Messiah, really. This really is the one we're looking for. And Simeon says, I know it doesn't look like it. I know nothing obvious has changed, but there's this old man, and he knows what he's looking for, and he said, this is the one. He has been looking for the Messiah all these years. He is a respected, godly man. He is a prophet, and he is an expert in searching out the Messiah. And he holds this baby, and he goes, he's the one. And then he sings that beautiful song, Sovereign Lord, now, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. God has acted, he said. And old Simeon ought to know, because he had made a career out of waiting for the Messiah. Now, old Simeon says something more. And you've got to read on a little bit in this passage and pay attention, and we seldom like to do that. Because the song he sings doesn't end with, Lord, let thy spirit, let thy servant depart in peace. It ends with, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many. And a sword will pierce your own soul also. Now he says that to Mary. The sword shall pierce your own soul. And that refers, of course, to the time when her son is going to grow up and be arrested and tortured, crucified, die. You see, that other word is for us. This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many. Now, in the Bible, we've talked about this. When a prophet sets something before the people, it means it's now up to the people. The people have to make the choice now. And we've talked before about how prophets just had a way of doing that. You know, they just kind of flop something in your lap, and then you have to decide what you're going to do with that information. And they brought things home to the people by saying, now, what do you think of this? And what do you think of that? What path are you going to take? It's your choice. What decision are you going to make? Prophets had a way of doing that. And Luke, just like a prophet, he relays this Christmas story, and then he lays it on our lap the same way. He's finished giving this account, this beautiful account, and then he just sits it there, right before us. Now, it's not a right now, immediate, cure the world's problems thing that he sits there. It's not magic. It's not a supernaturally imposed order from above. It's just this opportunity. And it's something that challenges us to do something. You see, this child is now just plopped in our laps. He's set there before us. And now what are you going to do with him? Well, Luke says, what are you going to do with him now? Here he is. Simeon says, here he is. You know, he's not going to remove all the problems that you wrestle with in your life. He's not going to do that. But if you follow him, he will change you. And he'll make it possible for you to deal with those problems. He's not going to take away all the pain you suffer. But if you follow him, he will bear it with you. He's not going to end all of the fighting in the world. But if you follow him, he will end the fighting in your soul. The old man and baby, just think of him. The old man stares at this baby, wants to make sure, because he's just been waiting for so long, and he doesn't want to mess it up now. And he looks at this baby, and a smile comes over his face. The wonderful smile that you can only see on the face of an old person who has lived. It's the smile of joy. And tears fill his eyes, and he says, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace. His wait was over. He was saying, you know what? I'm ready to go now. For my eyes have seen thy salvation. But stay with him, because he is not finished yet. And he says, this child is destined to cause the fall and the rising of many. And you know what Simeon does when he sings that line? That's when he hands the baby to you. And he says, here, you hold him. You look at his face. You see, Simeon made his choice. My eyes have seen your salvation. He made his choice, but he has handed the baby to us. And that's why Simeon is here at the end of the second chapter of Luke and at the end of the Christmas story. He is here to end the Christmas story by handing that baby to each one of us and to ask each one of us, what are you going to do with him? Because depending on how you answer that question, your Christmas can last all year. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, you know that we're not living our lives like that baby is the most important thing. And so we pray you'd rearrange our priorities, because we know that only when that little baby is at the top of the list will the rest of our lives come together like a puzzle. And you do that in a miraculous way. And you have miracles for each one of us. So, Father God, help us to make for sure that that babe of Bethlehem is at the top of our priorities. We pray it in his name. Amen.